excited to be with y'all today. So we're in the series, The Messy Middle. Have y'all loved it? Have y'all loved it? It's so cool because I'm back on the road now. Y'all may be seated. I'm back on the road now, and it's the funniest thing because everyone's keeping up with our series, and I love it because it's changing people's lives. And man, this series is it's not missing a beat. Today I'm gonna sit in your lap. Say, come on, Pastor Kim, sit in my lap. Sit in my lap because I'm about to wake some of you up for a second. Listen, I'm all up in your business, but in a good way. I'm in a good way because I am Pastor Kim. My job is to equip you for everything that God's got coming in your life, right? And if we're not careful, we will allow ourselves to allow what's going on to stop us from moving into our purpose, right? If we're not careful, we will get used to the lack and we won't move into our destiny. Right? We'll think the devastation that has happened in our lives. Some of y'all were in a pandemic before the pandemic. You know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen? The pandemic was actually all of y'all went through the pandemic for me. Because during this pandemic, how many of y'all like became better parents? You became better men, spouses. It gave you time to recollect and rethink some things, right? And so I choose to look at that. Y'all, we have 54 people give their hearts to Jesus. So obviously our biggest audience, our biggest church is Limitless Eye Church, and we have lots and lots of people that view from all over the world. We had 54 people give their hearts to Jesus last week. We had 38 the week before that and 72. I think everybody was on Mother's Day excursions last week. But we still had a great number give their hearts to Jesus. But before I get started today, I'm titling this sermon, Shut Hell Up. Shut hell up. Because I'm telling y'all something. Some of y'all need just a good swift in your tail today. Some of y'all just need to get shaken a second. That's what I'm going to do. I decree over your life before I get started. I'm decreeing and declaring over your life. Y'all listen, life and death are in the power of your words. And I decree open doors of opportunity are taking place in your life this week. I decree and declare divine appointments from heaven are coming your way. May you be in position to walk into the right places and situations that sets you up for success and influence. You will not miss your destiny move this week off of your feelings, right? Nope. This week, I declare that closed doors of rejection shall not be your experience. And the only doors that close are those God has closed. And I say to the enemy, he has no ability to create blockage. Come on, somebody. Blockage breaker. You are a blockage and a barrier breaker to the place as you are destined by God to enter. And I declare you receive heavenly appointed phone calls, letters, contacts, contracts, meetings, assignments, platforms, engagements. I decree and declare that you were given a God opportunity, a divine appointment to speak the word of God that's going to further you into your destiny. This week, I call the doors of influence that you didn't even expect. And I declare today that a new day of open doors rests upon you and your families. You are blessed, you are favored, and you are chosen. And every single person connected to you is walking in the same anointing just because they know you. Relationships are healed. Relationships are preserved. I speak to the marriages in this house. You will survive. You're not just going to survive. You are going to thrive. Love is your portion. Singles, you will not settle. You will not settle for Bozo or Delilah. You will wait on the one that God has for you. Because if they don't pray, they can't stay. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. We all have experienced bad days in our lives, right? We've all experienced bad days in our lives, and we need a framework. Somebody say framework from which to process how to survive and overcome in these moments. And so, Father, in this place today, I pray for our online community as we get into this word, that you would have your way and you would destine and divinely coordinate our way to exactly where you want us to be in Jesus' name. The first 2 weeks we have determined that in order to emulate Jesus, we have to what? Come on, all y'all been watching. Where y'all been? We have to forgive. Thank you. We have to forgive. Now, forgiveness is a cuss word. Whenever you've been really badgered, broken, and left for dead, right? Betrayal doesn't hurt when it's your loudmouth, chunky butt neighbor, right? That you don't know. It hurts when it comes from people that you know. People that are supposed to have your back, right? People that are supposed to support you and ride with you till the wheels fall off. Anybody ever encountered family issues? Drop this if you're in the news, if you're in our comment, right? Come on. Some of y'all have experienced some major betrayal, even from spouses, right? You go and you have a baby with them, and then all of a sudden they don't love you no more. And you're like, you watched a whole human come out of me, and you don't love me now, right? And so what the enemy's doing is he's trying to distract you, but God's word tells us to forgive. And this right here is your sermon for today. If you are walking in any type of holding on to hurt and pain, I found this scripture today right before, so it's not in my notes, but I thought it was a great scripture that I needed to talk to you guys about today. And it goes from James. This is an extra. It's just a bonus for y'all. James 4:1-2. It's the New Living Translation. I got to give it to y'all because y'all going to think that ain't the word. It says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you too busy wanting what they got. You ain't asking God for what's yours. Right? You don't have what you want because you won't ask God for what you want because you're too busy trying to become what they are so that you can have what they have. Oh, if I had a mic, I'd drop it. See, when we allow the enemy to get into our space, come on, somebody say space. When he gets into us and we start getting cloudy and we start getting petty, one of the things that happens is we begin to withdraw, right? Y'all do it in your marriages. Y'all do it in relationships. When somebody hurts your feelings, instead of going and talking to them, what do? We withdraw. Why? Because we hate confrontation. And there's some of y'all that love confrontation. But most people don't like confrontation, so you withdraw. And when you withdraw, it's when one person closes out the other person. Physically or conversationally. And you say things like, forget it. Done. It's over. I'm finished talking about it. Then you put the snap, crackle, pop. Or you get that neck going. Like, you don't want these hands. The next thing that happens is escalation. Withdrawal, it begins to escalate. These are different situations on how do you respond. Escalation is when all of a sudden they ain't hearing you. I'm trying to talk calmly to you and let you know that this really hurt me when you presented this to me. And he's like, huh. I don't think you heard me. And you begin to escalate. And you begin to use things like, you always do this. It's never about me. It's always about you. And your voice begins to raise and your heart rises. Anybody? Anybody? Your heart begins to palpitate. And all of a sudden you feel smoke coming out of your ears and your nose because they won't listen to you. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm not mad, I'm passionate. And once you begin to escalate, especially for men are like, when you begin to escalate, men are thinking, it's like you talking Chinese. You know what I'm saying? Then, if that don't get to you, then belittling comes in. Y'all know what belittling is? Oh, I'm gonna hurt you. Oh, I can cut you with my words. I'm about to. Belittling is when you begin to name call. You know what? What comes out of your mouth, you can't catch. There's some times in my life, man, I'll be like walking through something and I'm the queen of this. I'm getting you. I'm getting you. I'm getting those bullies, those cyber bullies, those cowards, and I'm typing a million miles because your typing goes even quicker whenever you're mad. And all of a sudden, I'll get the whole sentence out like I'm about to get you. And then I'm like, delete. And God says, but you still wrote it. People see your deeds, but God sees your. You begin to say, you dumb, you stupid. I knew you shouldn't even have, you were an accident. I thought I was going through menopause, and here you came. You were an accident. You were supposed to be a boy, and you a girl. So these things, see what I'm layering for you, is things that the enemy is doing to begin to get you stuck in the middle, stuck where you can't get out. Then there's false belief that comes in. False belief is starting to believe the lies. Nobody will ever love you. You're never going to be loved by anybody. Ain't nobody going to take on you and your five kids with five different baby daddy. And before you know it, you believe in every single thing they said. You create evidence. Y'all listen to this. You start believing the lies, thinking they don't love me anymore. You start waiting until he goes to sleep at night. And you start slithering out of the bed. Slithering on the floor. Over to his cell phone. Sliding on the floor. And then you reach up the side table and you try to get his phone to see who he's really talking to, because you know he's got to be cheating on you. You forget he's got a smartphone, and the minute it feels a vibration, it lights up the entire room, and your hearts are, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You ain't never been that scared of Jesus. So you begin to believe the false. You create evidence in your life that is false and unbelief, and dangerous things become, and it embodies you. And the only weapon that the Satan can do and use against you is a L-A-I. A lie. See, what we think we need. I'm already in some of your life. You're like, whoa, yeah, girl, give me. See, what we often think we need. I'm going to tell y'all something. If you don't get free from this sermon, you're going to live the rest of your life messed up. In the middle. In the middle. When you ain't got to stay in the middle. You just got to get out of your feelings and get into some healing. Right? So what if what you feel is right? You're going to get out of this and you're going to fly out of this and you're going to have some free life college out of it. One thing I do know is you're going to make it once you get out of the middle. See, we often think we need so much. We're like, what if we often think we need is for God to change our circumstances? But God is so over here saying, I am far more interested in the way you're thinking than changing your circumstances. If you can't handle this and you can't get your emotions together for this, then how can I trust you over here with this? You can't even handle the middle. How can I give you a mountain full of blessings? Right? Because you get attacked and you fall apart. Shaneko, you fall apart. You're like, oh dear God. Oh, not you, baby girl. I'm so glad to see you, by the way. But you good because you're so pretty. I had to use you for an example. See, we allow ourselves to start hearing, and the enemy begins to magnify the things that we haven't healed from. Right? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Right? It's that rejection. I remember one time there was a thing in me that I was always afraid of, like rejection. And this story came back up the other day and I remembered it. And I remember right whenever God began to open the windows of heaven over my life, and Real Talk Kim was being birthed on all socials, and all of a sudden people were recognizing me. And I was like, oh my God, I'd be at Bloomingdale's doing makeup and they'd be like, oh my God, you're Real Talk Kim, right? And I'd be like, oh my God. And I started feeling a little important, you know, like I should leave Bloomingdale's now because people recognizing me. You window when I walk through. I'm gonna need security up in Bloomingdale's making my $13 an hour. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, are you Real Talk Kimmy? Yeah, yeah, Real Talk Kimmy. And so I was thinking, I can leave this job. And I remember God said, no, you can't leave because your character can't keep up with where I'm taking you. Well, God, what do you mean, my character? You over here got a whole paparazzi thinking they should be following you at Bloomingdale's when nobody even hardly knows who you are. And if you can't handle that. And then I got tested even further. There was these people that reached out to me and they said, we want to honor the up and coming women. The women that's somebody. Oh, there's somebody. And we're gonna call it the Women of Excellence. And we're gonna honor Real Talk Kim at this fancy hotel. And we're gonna give her an award. It's gonna look like a Grammy, but a Christian Grammy, you know. And all of a sudden, I go buy me a prom dress. A powder blue Grammy looking gown. And I walk up into the hotel thinking, I've arrived. Oh, they're recognizing me today. I walked up and I said, "This, I'm Real Talk Kim." They said, "You're not on the list." I said, "Oh, no. I think you're looking at the wrong list. Maybe you're not looking at the honoree list." They said, "Oh, no, we're looking, and your name ain't nowhere on here." Before I could even get into the door, I started feeling the rejection of my past. Right? Why? Because my character couldn't keep up where God was taking me, so he was exposing some things that did not feel good in my heart at that moment, so that when I got to a place where they betrayed me, the higher you go, new levels, new devils, then I wouldn't be affected by that. So finally they come back and they said, "Oh yeah, girl, come on in. We found you. You were on the wrong list." I saw they totally wrote my name in it, right? So then when I get in there, about five, I'm sitting at a table and everybody's taking pictures with each other. We're like, "Hey girl, hey." Tagging Real Talk Kim. "Yeah, you important, girl. You important." All of the other five nominees were all taking pictures, and it was like a big, big deal, right? Then they said, "We would like all the nominees to come up on the stage." Y'all, this was a fancy hotel. There was lots of people there. And I walk up on that stage and they start calling the names out, and they call everybody but, you got it, me. And I'm standing on that stage with no award, and my heart is sinking, and God begins to speak. "Do you want their accolades or do you want my accolades?" I was ignored. It's what Jesus is telling me. I was ignored. I was overlooked. I wasn't even identified as the Savior of the world, honey. And you're never honored in your own city. And if you need validation from people to get you to another place, you will die when they overlook you for a fake, phony Grammy. And I remember I go sit back down at the table, and all of a sudden, all those women that thought I was somebody wouldn't even speak to me. And I remember God said, "Number two, you don't want to hang around with nobody that only likes you because of who you are and what you do." I went and looked at their Facebook, because that's what we humans do. They done taken all my pictures off. "Oh, you ain't nobody. We thought you were somebody. You ain't nobody." And I remember as God began to elevate me, the more I would allow those situations, because it happened a lot, because people will use your name to get crowds. You know what I'm saying? And if you allow those things to hurt your feelings, then you will stay at that place today. And I want to talk about a lady that encountered what I encountered. We're going to talk about Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha, if you look at Luke 10:38 through 42, now I got rejected from some mean girls that thought your name mattered. But the way I rose above this thing is the way you have to rise above it in order for God to take you to another level. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Mary was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Mary thought the more she did, the more accolades she would get. She came to Jesus because she got frustrated. Martha came to Jesus and she said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" Y'all like how I make the octaves higher? you better tell her. You better tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details, and there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. What in your life has hurt you so bad or seemed so unfair that you've allowed it to keep you in the middle? I refuse to let go. I refuse. I can't get healed. If I get healed, I won't have no attention because I like the attention being broken gets me. I can't get healed. I'm afraid of being healed because I've never been healed. And if I really get healed, then I got to be normal. And if I'm normal, I don't know how I'm going to handle anybody. I've been there. I was drama mama. I know that shocks y'all. But I was drama mama. I was the one that would go on Facebook and say, I went to Limitless Church this Sunday. And Real Talk Kim said, I got to stop this messy middle. So I'm doing a Facebook purge. If you don't see me in your newsfeed in the morning, you've been deleted. Because I'm sick of the drama. That was me. And I remember one day my mama goes, you do know you're the drama. Because when you get healed, you ain't got to announce it. And I was like, oh, is that how it works? See, when you get healed, you don't go back to the blood. When you get healed, you are healed and a scab goes forth and you become out better with mess over message. Your scars are turned to stars, in other words. See, when I look now and I see those women, because I still see those women on there. Now I'm like, hey, girl. But I don't have to allow myself to go show them nothing. Why? Because your evidence of the oil begins to show, and it's called fruit. Your fruit is on display, and everywhere you go, you are changing lives. Everywhere you go, you are giving people a dose of the Holy Ghost, of letting them know it ain't over until God says it's over. See, Martha, y'all is good. Martha complained to Jesus about Mary on his very first visit to Bethany. Mary could have been offended. Her own sister threw her under the bus. Ugh. Kill her! Kill her with the train. But nowhere does it say that she prayed for God to kill her sister with the train. Nowhere does it show that Mary got offended. She could have gotten so offended when Judas, when she goes to break the alabaster box at the feet of Jesus, and all the disciples, God's posse, was like, oh no, it'd be like walking on the front row at church and them saying, girl, bye, get outside, you gotta stay in the children's wing, right? Because here she is walking into this place, and Jesus' posse was starting to talk. But again, Mary stayed focused. She didn't get off kilter. She didn't even listen to what they were saying. I bet she was sitting there going, singing over his feet while they were running his mouth. She learned how to worship instead of worry. See, don't make the mistake of underestimating that the pain that was inflicted upon Mary was not horrific. Right? Here you have a woman who loved her Lord with all her heart, and she was unfairly criticized for doing the right thing. Not by her enemies, but once by her sister and another time by Jesus' posse, his disciples. And Mary never opened her mouth to defend herself. She never opened her mouth with her actions. In silence, she entrusted the matter to her Lord. You know why I can preach this sermon today? Because I did it. I do it every day of my life. I can't preach something to you that I hadn't conquered. With the whole world watching and people lying on me. I do this. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. The more you raise, the more he gives. See, the point is there will always be someone, some Christian, some family member, who will undermine your good actions. If you get upset and you go off and you sulk and you nurse the grievances, you will die. Maybe not a natural death, but a spiritual death. Anybody ever held on to something that you couldn't change? It stinks, don't it? It stinks when someone's hurt you and you see other people liking them after they hurt you. That's the worst. But because of social media now, we got that. You can't sit and judge somebody off of liking somebody that don't like you. You can't even be bothered by it, right? Y'all like, girl, that's all right. I block him. I block her. Well, why? Right? It's good to block. I block people too. But you got to look at the reasoning behind it. You always got to look at your heart posture in the midst of why you're doing what you're doing. Right? So I want to give you really quickly. It's going to go by fast. It's going to be like a drive-by. Here are some things. Y'all ready for this? Write it down. Here are some things that Mary's teaching us to help us get out of the messy, stinking middle. Because you ain't stuck in the middle. Why? Because you ain't no tree. You ain't no tree. You only stuck in the position that you're in because you stopped moving. Because you won't let go. Number one, people will always. People gonna hurt your feelings. People gonna hurt your feelings. It's a little fox that spoiled the vine. If the enemy knows that you get your feelings hurt off of just people's eyeballs looking you up and down, y'all know when y'all walk in a room sometime that girl goes, and you go, Instead, you're just like, she just thinks I'm really beautiful. That's what I do. I promise to God, when someone's ugly to me, I'm like, she thinks I'm really beautiful. Oh. I promise I do. When people don't like me, I'm like, it's okay. She just don't really know me. She's just heard something about me. She's going to like me, though, eventually. I promise to God I live like that. People will hurt your feelings because of the fall in the garden. Sometimes a person acts with malicious intent, desiring to hurt you because they don't like you and they've chosen to be offended by you. And other times they've hurt you and don't even realize they've hurt you. That's the worst, when you're holding out in your heart and that person don't even know you mad. You just quit talking to them. Right? You didn't even give them a chance to fix it. What if God brought that person into your life to help you get to the next level? Because God always uses people to get you to another level. What if God brought that person? Hey, I know he didn't bring that ratchet thing into my life. But what if he did? What if he brought that person into your life to chisel away, to be sandpaper in your life, so that you could handle that next level that you're going to? But because of your pettiness, say pettiness, now you have stopped the praise that God wants to do in your life, right? So here we are. We're looking at this. They don't even know they did it, or maybe they do. Oh, well, who cares? I'm sure that when the disciples chimed in with Judas' complaint, I don't think that the disciples were trying to be mean. Yo, I am the queen of this. I am the queen of getting my little feelings hurt every once in a while. Because the enemy knows that the battlefield of the mind is where everything happens. You'll all of a sudden start getting tired and you'll be like, man, I did this and I've done this and I've given this. I go to that church and they're just praising and giving me all of this. I go to my church and I'm falling out of the car. And before I know it, I'm over here stuck. Because I'm allowing the lie, the L-I-E, to stop me from moving into that great manifestation right? I'm stopping. Some of y'all are stopping that incredible marriage. God brought you the greatest wife, the greatest husband, but because you are mad at what your ex did to you, now he's having to pay, or she's having to pay for something she didn't even do. Right? You got this new job and maybe you don't like it, but God's over saying it's just a stepping stone to keep paying your bills. You got to pay your bills. You're just going to pay your bills for a second till I open. This is not ready for you yet. But when this is ready, y'all, this is deep, ain't it? Ain't it deep? Ain't it deep? Ain't it deep? You're welcome. When this gets ready, I'll then open the doors, but you won't be behind payments and not enjoying your new job by trying to catch up with the payments because you were too busy. Easy like a Sunday morning. I'm believing in Jesus. He's saying, now listen, I need you to work while you're waiting. The devil's after my lights. The devil's after my car. The devil's after the, no, he's working, but you ain't. Number two. I want to be like a mic. I want to drop it like a mic, but I like this. I don't want to break it. Number two. Number one was people hurt your feelings. Number two, when others hurt you, your spiritual maturity is revealed. Ouch. 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 Your spiritual maturity is revealed. When God takes you to another level, you ain't, I don't have the luxury to be a cyber bully. I don't have the luxury. I don't have the luxury to be in my feelings because of what God's entrusted me with, right? Now, God can entrust you, and God can trust you with a lot. But if your actions are not holy, then your actions will sabotage what God has opened for you. That's why you got to be ready for whatever he brings in your life. And when, honey, when you are feeling anxious or anxiety, or you're feeling like you're always pushing a door open and you're feeling stressed all the time, you are not operating in God. Why? Because God is not a God of chaos and confusion. I don't know why we want to chase the devils every day. Y'all wanting us to scream and yell at them, come out, come out. And you're like, no, no, no. Why? Because you don't want to clap back. You want your clap back over deliverance. That was a good one. Sometimes you don't need therapy. You need deliverance. Get out of your feelings and get into some... Number three. Come on. It's the truth. I one time heard, y'all, I was at this conference one time, and I'm preaching, and this lady starts, the spirit starts coming out of her. And all of a sudden, somebody goes over to her and says, do you want to come out? Do you want to come out? Do you want to come out? I'm thinking, no, they're comfortable. Finally, I looked, I said, get out in the name of Jesus. You got to demand it. Same way you got to fix your heart. Ain't nobody going to make your heart get right. Ain't nobody going to make you get healed. You know why I'm so crazy and obnoxious? Because I know there are billions of people in this world, and I know everybody's wanting a miracle from God. And so I think the crazier I am and the more nuts I am, that he sees me in heaven over you. I don't know. It's worth a try. I'm just always going more, 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 God, more. Why? Because I've been in hell. And I don't ever want to go back to hell. And when you got hell in your life, most of the time it's because you got comfortable in hell and you ain't come out on fire yet. You got to come out on fire. That's why this pandemic was, y'all, this pandemic was a plandemic. Now, I'm not saying it ain't real. Don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. I've seen some incredible people die. So I know it's real. But I think it was a plandemic from the enemy. Because now the enemy's got people so fearful. We ain't going to church. We're depressed. They're subscribing a Xanax and Ambien by a Zoom. When we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that got up on that cross, stretched his arms out wide, and said, for you it is finished. You ain't gonna die before your time. So what did the enemy do? The enemy said, let me weasel my tail up in there in their lives, and you're going to either be in the revival that's happening or you're going to stay over on the sidelines and stay pumped out. It's up to you. Number three, God intends to use mistreatments. He intends to use mistreatments. I'm going to tell y'all, that divorce was a pandemic. That sickness was a pandemic. That death was a pandemic. And the enemy's trying to get you to stay wounded. God intends to use mistreatments for our good. Think about Joseph. Think about Joseph. He went to jail for doing the right thing. That abuse as a child was a pandemic because there's some oil on the inside of you. And the enemy knew it. When you came out of your mama, hell heard, a doctor said, "What?" But hell heard purpose, destiny, a game changer, a nation shifter. Somebody that when they walk into a room, everything vibrates with the oil. That's why you got to get up. Joseph, he said when his brothers were selling him, he says, what you intended to harm me, God intended it for my good. David rose up. David could have went after and killed his distractor, but instead he allowed God to be known as the sovereign God in his life, right? He didn't care what nobody thought. He was letting God reign. 8:28, Romans 8:28, it says, everything that comes into our lives, whether good or evil, first passed through the hands of a sovereign God. He didn't cause it, but he for sure gonna use it. Once you make peace with God, ain't nothing like it, because ain't nothing affecting you after that. Number four, Christians often get offended by reading into words and actions. This has happened a lot in this pandemic. I meant pandemic. Listen, it's happened a lot because we've lost a lot of great friendships in this pandemic. Well, we weren't essential to each other. We were all walking through a pandemic. You can't judge people off a hard season. It usually happens when people are oversensitive and thin-skinned. And in my experience, this makes up most cases in the Christian walk. Taking offense at another believer and never going and talking to them. This cancel culture, what? Canceling somebody that ain't got not one thing you trying to cancel them for? Guess what, y'all? You stand before God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And when that bah, 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 when that trumpet blows, you're going to stand before God if you were the leader of that cancel culture. Because all of those people that stopped following that person that was intended to be the one that was going to take them to Jesus, take me to the King. I wanted to sing it, but ain't got nothing to do with my sermon. Now you gonna stand before God. You gonna stand before God on your mouth. Number five. Christians often get offended with the person when they believe false accusations against them. Again, you gonna stand before God. You're going to take an account. But the good thing about God, you can fall on your face and say, God, I'm sorry. Yeah. But then I believe you got to go even more to start rebuilding what you broke. See, wise and discerning Christians who have been around the block ignore gossip. The thing about the church is we are the only culture that throws their own under the bus. When a pastor falls, they throw him under the bus. They rip him out of the platform. When a deacon gets caught back up in his addiction, we throw him out the door. They're unqualified instead of rebuilding. The world does that. The world all runs and helps. That's what Limitless does. We rebuild. It's never too late for you. As long as you have a pulse, God's got a plan. So you ignore the gossip. When wise and discerning believers are concerned about someone, they go straight to the person privately, as Jesus taught us to do. asking questions rather than making allegations. These are the things that keep you stuck in the middle. Getting in your flesh and not staying in the spirit. I always ask myself this. How would I want to be treated if someone was saying these things about me? That's how I live. Remember, Satan is the slanderer. That's what devil means, slanderer. And he uses gossip to keep us in the middle. He does gossip. It destroys relationships. That's why the Bible says that believing gossip separates close friends, and that one of the seven things the Lord hates is sowing seeds of discord among brethren. Number six, what you do with the hurt is your choice. What you do with the hurt is your choice. If you're in the middle and you can't get out, you got to ask yourself, what do I need to let go of? You can choose to be offended and make a friend out of your hurt. You can feed it. You can take it out for daily walks. You can cuddle it. You can protect it until it destroys you and others. And it can cause a root of bitterness. If you allow, it will live. It will defile many and prove destructive to your own spirit. I don't know about y'all, but it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it, is it? I know it hurts, and I know we're validated, and I know it just feels so good to pray for God to kill them with a train. Because you want them to hurt as bad as you hurt. But that middle, you overlooked me. You overlooked me. But they overlooked Jesus. You weren't there. This wasn't on my dream board. On my dream board, my ring was bigger. On my dream board, I had a white picket fence. I wasn't living in government subsidized housing. And before you long, the enemy is ripping you apart. Because he knows when you come up out of that hole, oh, you better hold on. Wait a minute. Ooh. Every time your feet hit the ground, the devil's going to be saying, oh, crap. Ooh. I thought I had her. I thought I had him. I was that close to suffocating them, to making them kill themselves. And then that loud mouth, real tall Kim had to open her mouth. I'm going after Kim. I said, bring it on. You can live. You can stand. You can live free from offense. Guess what? You can live free from offense. Period. Your marriage can be restored after that infidelity. Period. Your child will come home after being a prodigal. Period. You ain't got to call Miss Cleo. Call on the Lord. Why? Because he and I got a good thing going on. I ain't staying in the middle. If y'all still in the middle after this series, you want to be in the middle. If y'all still stuck after this series, you want to stay stuck. And you know what? It's boring. Get up, get out, and be the change you want to see. You can live free from offense. This doesn't mean that you will never be hurt. Nor does it even mean that you will never be angry. Jesus got angry. Do y'all remember that temple tantrum? He went ratchet on us for a second. But Paul said, be angry and sin not. Get out of your feelings and get into some healing. Hush until you heal. Stop breaking good stuff. Stop making yourself stay in the nosebleed middle section. And check your motives. Why are you cleaning the toilets? Because I want to be a servant of the Lord. Why are you talking about her that always is cleaning the toilets? She's just trying to get seen by Pastor Kim. Well, you going to sit in the back of the line because of your attitude. Check your motives. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Stop putting unfair expectations on people, y'all. And go to work with God on this thing. Now, I'm not at all alleviating the importance of the situation that you're in. I've never been in your situation. I only can go off of my own. Where I literally have walked through some things that I still should be in the ground crying. But I chose, the harder I fall, the higher I bounce. And when I bounce, I'm bouncing out gentle. I'm bouncing out kind. I'm bouncing out full of love. I'm bouncing out of this thing oily. And my fruit will outlive your lies. Period. Why? Because I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it don't matter what they say, no way. Get free. Anger is a normal human emotion when someone abuses you or abuses someone you care about. But what you do with your anger determines whether or not it is a sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. It makes you old. White people, we melt. When you hold on to anger, you're like this. And all your skin is starting to melt. Black don't crack. Unless you're real mad, and then it starts to crack. But it ain't worth it. Hispanics, what? Y'all got great skin. In addition, we should always be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Whew, this was good. This was good. This was good. The Lord has caused us to the high road of living without offense. You know what keeps us stuck, y'all? Pride. Pride. I ain't gonna tell you I'm sorry because you were wrong. But you walk up in there and say, baby, I am so sorry. And inside you're thinking, I ain't sorry, really, you did it. But you still took that action. You still wrapped your arms. And even if you go to that person and you say you're sorry, and you still don't think it's your fault, even when you're saying you're sorry, something happens to your heart. And while you're wrapping your arms around each other, God's healing you and taking you to another level. It's the most beautiful thing ever when you do something that you don't feel you need to do, but you do it anyway to save a relationship or to save the place you're at in your life. The Lord has called us to a high road of living without offense, and he has given us both the power and the will to do his good pleasure in every area of our lives. I got two. We gonna be like Mary up in here. We gonna love the hell out of Martha. We gonna love the hell out of the disciples that are mean to us, the Christians, the Pharisees. And we gonna tell hell to shut up. We're going to tell that worry and then stress committee that meets inside our head every day to sit down and hush up. because our paths are orchestrated by the Lord. And every step I take, he says he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than I could ever ask or think. And I'm going to stand on Psalm 46 and 10 that says, be still and know that I am God. So what you going to do this week? What y'all going to do this week? What y'all going to do this week? You're going to be contagious. Glory carriers. Game changers. Nation shifters. When that ex calls you, you're going to be like, hello. He's going to be like, who is this? Oh, it's your ex. It's your ex. What can I do for you? You okay? Oh, yeah, I'm good. God's changing everything in you this week. I love y'all so much. I'll see you next.